Everyone, and welcome to another edition of Race Time Radio. Thanks, Ked, for bringing us in and wheelhouse. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr., right here in the Race Time Radio studio, all set to go for 2 hours of coast-to-coast Canadian short track racing talk there, Jr. Busy weekend for you.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Lots of racing action, that's for sure. It still felt weird, but it was definitely a good weekend with everybody over at Flamborough Speedway, with the NASCAR Pinty Series race, and lots of great content on television and online, and you didn't really know where to turn today. Yeah. There was tons of stuff happening today.
Well, for some reason, your mic sounds a little bit funky there.
Really?
Can't figure that out. Yeah, it does in my headset anyway. But
no kidding.
We will get by, because it sounds, we can still hear you. But
okay.
I'm going to have to figure that one out as time goes on. Let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. Of course, the NASCAR Pinty Series did go for a wicked ride for their first time around Flamborough Speedway in just outside Millgrove, Ontario. And it was quite a night. Going to Victory Lane. How about it? The Kubota Kid. We got Jason Hathaway coming on the show. He won one of the 125s. The other winner was the 74 car of Kevin Lacroix, not on the show tonight. But we will hear from J.R. Fitzpatrick that made his debut back in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He come back for a race. He was hooked up with 22 Racing. J.R. did a pretty good job. He looked pretty sporty in that new-looking ride.
He did, for sure. It was really interesting. The class of the field... really, the class of the field at both events so far this year, at all four races, but at both tracks, has been the 3 of Jason Hathaway and the 74 of Kevin Lacroix.
Yeah.
Lights out fast. The amount of speed that the two guys have found, and it's not just this year. They've been very fast at all the ovals, leading up to this season.
Yeah.
And they are the class of the field right now. When you look at what Steckley, has went through in the 22 Racing team, they're on a rebounding deal.
Yeah.
They've changed a lot within their program, and having J.R. Fitzpatrick join that team is a massive addition. He did a great job yesterday, as did Tagliani.
Tag's
with the 18. Tagliani being back behind the wheel of the 18, they were definitely a force. Everybody knew they were there yesterday. And J.R. Fitzpatrick, seeing him with Scott Steckley's team, reflecting back the amount of battles that Scott Steckley and J.R. Fitzpatrick had on the racetrack, and now they're on the same team, that's a potent mixture, right?
Yeah,
those two guys, they used to get after it, team versus team, and J.R. did a great job yesterday. There was a tremendous amount of speed in the 24 car, but there was a lot of different... a lot of different struggles on the racetrack, just simply as the car changed as the run went on. They were long green flag runs, and it seemed like the only cars that could actually withstand that long run and still maintain speed was the 74 and the 3. So interesting race event yesterday.
Well, we're going to be talking with both J.R. Fitzpatrick. He's going to join us right off the top after the break. And Jason Hathaway is going to follow in behind. We'll also go out to Canada's East Coast. Yep, right out to the Maritimes. Scotia Speed World is back in action on Friday nights, which is really nice to see. And some big, big news just last week, the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, the Parts for Trucks Tour, is going to go back into action at Scotia Speed World for A250. And tonight we're going to hear from the GM of both the track and the tour. We got Ken Cunning going to drop on by. Looking forward, Junior, to catching up with Kenny. Always a great guy and always a wealth of knowledge. We'll check in to see what that 250 is going to be like.
Yeah, definitely. You take a look at the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, and all the guys are competing, right? Or not all of them, but a majority of the registered Pro Stock Tour drivers are competing in New Brunswick, right?
Yeah,
they're getting laps in 660, and they're getting laps over in at Petty, but the Pro Stock Tour itself has not turned a wheel, right?
And the
Nova Scotia portion of the Maritimes is not turning wheels outside of testing. So to see the announcement that there is going to be a 250. Very welcome to everybody.
Yeah.
And very exciting to say the least, because they need it. When you look at it, Ontario, we've had the privilege of having a few races across the province, and then as well with the APC series kicking off. We've had the chance to get out there and to get racing, but the Pro Stock Tour itself has not, and I know that they've been missing it big time.
Well, we're going to hear from Ken tonight. We'll get the skinny on everything there. Now, I also want to bring another guest on tonight that is, when it comes time for media, there is ESPN, there is TSN, there is Fox Sports One, and all the rest, all the multi-big-time media that cover our sport. But I'll tell you, there is a lot of smaller media that is doing a world of a job in short track racing. Tonight, you're going to meet one of those guys. His name is James McDonald. He owns JDM Broadcasting out in the Maritimes.
Yes.
He and his father do a tremendous job filming races, getting interviews, and getting that content out to anybody that may have missed the race. And we're going to catch up with James here tonight. One of those guys, one of those integral parts of this sport that doesn't get near enough credit. And tonight I want to introduce him to absolutely all of our listeners. You're going to be able to check him out. JDM Broadcasting. James is going to join the show. Then, Junior, to finish up tonight, we're going to go to the other end of the country, all the way out to BC. And tonight, you're going to hear from Dave Smith from out in BC. You out in BC know the name Dave Smith. He drives the 5C out at Western Speedway. Of course, the big 200 is coming up, the Canada 200, coming up on the Labor Day weekend. There is a story behind Dave Smith, and a lot of people don't maybe know that story. I'll tell you what, there is a big premiere coming out. We're going to tell you all about it. Dave Smith is going to join us, and I can't wait for this interview. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of great guests, but I'll tell you what, Dave is going to be dynamite.
Yeah, absolutely. And why would he, the first question that I'm going to ask, why would he be the 5C if his name is Dave Smith? I wonder where the C comes from.
I don't know.
Maybe there's a 5A and a 5B.
No.
But 5C.
No, it's 5S.
Yeah.
Now that you say it's the 5S.
I was going to say, usually it's last letter.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, the first letter of the last name, or first letter of the first name. But 5S makes a lot more sense.
Buddy, that would be on me. That would be the 5S. But we're going to
catch
up.
There's a lot of great content there. We're gonna have a great interview with
And him. I know next week on the show, we got some loaded up guests for next week. Phil Fowler out in Newfoundland, from St. John's, Newfoundland, or just outside St. John's. Guess what? He becomes Canada's first late model champion for 2020. He did it on the weekend out at Thunder Valley Speedway in Newfoundland. And we got to say congratulations to Phil Fowler. I really wanted to get him on the show, but as you can tell, we are going to have an action-packed show here tonight. So next week, Phil Fowler, he's going to come on from Newfoundland and also from BC just before they throw the green flag in the air. We're gonna have the promoter from Western Speedway. We got Daryl Crocker going to join us on this show just before that green flag goes in the air. But we got so much to talk about tonight. I can't wait. I'm going to hit this break And when we come back, we're going to have J.R. Fitzpatrick that went back into the NASCAR Pindy Series at Flamborough Speedway just last night. He did it in the number 24 car, a beautiful machine. J.R. Fitzpatrick on the other side of the break. Don't you go anywhere. We're just getting things fired off here tonight at Race Time.
Hi, I'm Bob Finnegan, the starter for the NASCAR Super Series. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Race Time Radio in Nova Scotia.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Oh, so great to have you along for the ride. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we, or for the first time tonight. Bring back a guest that we've had on the show lots of times. As a matter of fact, he was the very first guest on Racetime Radio back when the show started like 13, 14 years ago, 2007. So I don't know how many years that is, quite a few. Let's welcome in J.R. Fitzpatrick, driver of the number 24 for 22 Racing in the NASCAR Pindy Series at Flamborough just last night. J.R., what's going on? How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Fantastic, man. Hey, good run for you. You didn't win both races, but they definitely knew you were there with a third and a sixth place finish. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, the first race, obviously, was pretty good. We ran second for a majority of the race, and then the car was just losing the nose a little bit and fell back third, and then I just ended up getting spun out, and then quite enough time to get going. I mean, the car was changed so much in the practice of the first race, and we came to the pits for our 30-minute break, and then they found some issues that were going on with the left front, so the 22 racing team got all fixed up, and it was definitely better in the second race. Just, you know, I think if I had a little more seat time this year in them cars, we maybe could have battled it out, because I was trying to get used to the lockers. I haven't raced a locker since, like, 2010, something like that, I think. So it was something to get used to, that's for sure. And but I had fun. The guys were fun to race with. It was just like old times. It's just they're definitely a different race car.
Just like slipping an old glove on, right? It fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, everything felt fine to me. It's just, like I said, the only thing I really struggled with was trying to get familiar with the locker and in traffic and how to work the locker, because it really does, it changes a lot versus running like a locked up rear end like a spool. So, like I said, I had a lot of fun. Looking forward to getting to Jakarta next and hopefully get a test there and just keep rolling with it.
Are you going to be a one-and-done now in that 24, or you just mentioned Jukasser? Were you talking APC practice with your number 84, or are you heading there with the 24, and you're going to continue on with Pinty's?
Yeah, no, I got basically a four-race deal, so I'll be doing the Jukasser race as well, which is cool. I mean, who would have thought that years ago that someone said I'd be racing for Scott Steckley and his team with, we probably both would have laughed about it, because we had a lot of years there. We really didn't get along too well, but you know, not racing against each other and getting to know Scott a little more, like through his son Kyle, because he bought our old late model, and we've kept in contact at trying to make it better for him. And I'm learning lots from Scott. I mean, Scott's a very intelligent man, and he's got a lot of really smart people on his team. So it's I've been learning lots just about, you know, like different kind of setup stuff also that I think will help my late model program. So it's definitely a win for me. And the car had great speed when we were there. It's just that everything that was going on with the left front there just kind of set us back a little bit. And I'm excited for Jay Hassett because I do think we can get a win. Just got to get a little more familiar with how to drive it and, you know, just get some seat time.
Absolutely. JR, looking at what you're able to put together with the Pinty Series, you've you know, been out of it for quite some time, obviously on the big car side. Did much change feel-wise? Like, I know with the locker, you're getting used to it, but did much change happen, like, feel-wise in those cars since you were competitive in the series?
No, to be honest, they're pretty much all still doing the same thing we're doing.
Yep.
It's just, you know, a lot of guys have engineered feedback or assistance.
Exactly.
In the States, so you, the technology is a little different, but feel-wise, I mean, at the end of the day, they're big, heavy NASCARs. That's what NASCAR is all about. It's stock steering-type suspension, so they're not racks or steering boxes. And the one thing that was different, too, was they're on a different tire. So
yeah.
I had to get used to the tire a little bit, but my really only struggle was just getting used to the locker, and everything else felt pretty well the same to me. It's just... you know, the locker deal is a big deal for anyone who hasn't really driven like a spool versa locker. Like you drive off in the corner, as soon as you lift, it just freewheels, which is great. Then you think you can pick the gas up sooner than you can. So as soon as you pick the gas up, it starts power pushing. So the nose drives to the wall. So if I got too greedy, it really screwed me up.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. It was fun though, but they still drive the same.
And we all know J.R. Fitzpatrick is very greedy behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Especially on the gas stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Getting it on.
Very, very greedy. J.R., looking you know, you touched on the Jocassa portion. There's a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz around that because really there's two races happening the same day, right? Mm-hmm. There's September 12th. You know, there's the APC series that is happening at Flamborough Speedway, mm-hmm. and then there is the NASCAR Pinty Series race, which is happening at Jocassa. There's two races happening at Jocassa, right? There's two 125s,
yep.
and then there is the APC race at Flamborough. Originally, they were supposed to overlap. Luke and you know Alex and the Pinty Series were able to come up with a pretty neat deal. Where there's going to be multiple competitors making the start at Jocassa and racing for both races, then loading up into a team van and heading over to Flamborough Speedway to run late models.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of believe it when I see it, when other guys go do it, because the issue with it is, A, no practice.
Yep.
Two, we're probably going to miss qualifying because they only gave us 40 minutes in between right when the race is supposed to be over on a time.
Yep.
Now, it could work out if it got done earlier. But just say if it ended at, it's like 4:40, our qualifying's at 5:20. Well, I've already looked. It takes 52 minutes to get there. That's literally if I got out of the car at 4:40, jumped in a truck, and started heading over there, I still probably wouldn't make qualifying. So I still have to try and talk to, you know, whoever, Luke or race director or something, to see if I can work something out. Like, even if you put my car in the last group, I know that'll piss a lot of people off. That's the problem, right? Is you're going to start making people mad. Because if I don't practice, technically I'm supposed to be the first car out for qualifying.
Absolutely.
So I don't really know how that's going to work. And then if there's more than 26 cars, which I don't know if there will be or not, just because of everything that's going on this year. But if there's more than 26 cars, there's going to be a B main. So, like, does that mean I got to start B main even though I have a provisional because of last year? I'm not sure how this all works. I'm trying to get answers because you can, like, it's not even a question. I'm going to do both.
Exactly.
I'm going to start 26 or wherever. If I have a provisional or however this is going to work, I'm doing the two race. Well, I guess it'd be three races in one day.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at the names, like by the sounds of it, there's two that haven't been announced yet. So I've got to watch. Yeah, there's two that haven't been announced, but by the sounds of it, there's
watch
four.
Watch what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to be careful here. I don't want to let any cat out of the bag. But by the sounds of it, there's four, and you know, there's two that we know of for sure that have committed, and that's DJ Kennington and yourself. But I mean, if you want entertainment value, and you want to watch that race on G-Force, or you want a pod in Flamborough Speedway's grandstands, I think the ticket price goes up
because
putting J.R. Fitzpatrick and DJ Kennington at the tail of the field for an APC race.
Oh man!
Just put one camera on those two cars
and in them.
Yeah, I mean the entertainment value alone is going to be pretty cool. I mean, and really, that's without COVID, opportunities like that wouldn't have arisen. Right,
yeah.
you would have raced the APC series, and Pinty's would have raced at Jucasa or wherever they were scheduled to be. But I think that this is one of the coolest things to happen in Ontario racing, and I think that a lot of people are going to get behind it and follow along that storyline because it's very interesting.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting because I know you know, at all places I feel comfortable starting the back, it's Flamborough. I have so many laps there. And I know my late model is always good there. You know, if there's a place like Sauble or somewhere where I'm not really that great of a driver of, I'd be a little more concerned, but I'll probably practice like the Tuesday before or Thursday before, whenever they're allowed there now, and just feel it out, and then send a couple of my guys to make sure my tires are good and make sure the car is sitting there, and they'll just sit in lawn chairs, and I'm sure they'll be bored as hell, but, you know, I'd be sending two guys that I trust very much with the car, and knowing they'll get it through tech and all that, because it still has to go through tech. So it's going to be fun. I like doing stuff like that. I've always loved doing stuff like that. Like back in 09, I you know, there's one week where I think I ran a truck on a Wednesday, a sprint car on a Friday, and a TQ midget on a Sunday or something up at the beach.
Yep.
You know, I love trying to run as many races as I can, obviously. And even with COVID, we're trying to race some more as much as we can every weekend. I'm racing Kevin Bridges number 17 Civics this weekend at Flamborough. First time in a front-wheel drive car since 2011. So why not? Let's just keep racing everything.
We're with J.R. Fitzpatrick tonight. We're talking about, well, pretty well everything. J.R., this reminds me of back in the days when I was a fan at Sauble Speedway. We had the big 200 going on at Cayuga Speedway. Junior Hanley would run down to Cayuga. He'd win that race. He'd jump in an aircraft, and he would literally fly up and land just the other side of the road at the beach, and someone would go over and grab him, put him in the 72 car. He had his other car sitting at the beach, and man, if he didn't go out there, qualify and win that race too. Made it cool for the fans. We could see the plane coming in. We knew Junior was going to make it on time, and it was just unbelievable. That is what short track memories are all about, and it sounds like you guys are about to do it again.
Yeah, but the only difference is DJ and I will be like Days of Thunder wrecking our team truck and minivan on the way there.
Well, I already told DJ and those guys I am not being the one to drive that deal.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to ride with them either.
Well, that will be a what do you call it, a hell tour, Junior.
Yeah.
What you should do is look up Marvin Freiberger. Give
he knows,
Marvin
he used to
a
drive
call.
For Marvin.
Sure, give Marvin a call. Marvin. He's got one of those aircrafts, a real fast one too. He'd probably get you to Flamborough in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's no way you'd ever get me in an airplane. No way.
Well,
like I said, I think we're going to make it work. I've already asked all the questions. I'm just waiting for answers. I'm fine with starting in the back as long as I don't get there and there's sudden surprises, like, you know, you got to qualify in the top four to be main or whatever, because that. I just want everything to be in front of me. This is what you got to do. This is how it's going to work. And then I can understand it and we can plan around it. Because, yeah, even though the tracks are still an hour apart, well, there's two different divisions, two different teams, two different series. So there's still got to be quite a bit of planning and quite a bit of, you know, the logistics side of things still figured out. So it'll be fun. Maybe I'd do like a like an Instagram live story of the whole day, how it goes, because it's definitely going to be a long day. But it'll be fun, and it'll be a good competitive day because I feel comfortable at both tracks, and I feel comfortable going for the win in both classes. So it'll be interesting.
Well, your partycasino.fun number 24, that Chevrolet will be set up at Cayuga or Jukasa, the new Jukasa, and that race will be on TSN, probably a week delayed like it's normally. And then when you get to Flamborough Speedway, well, we'll have the luxury of watching it absolutely live on GeForce.TV, and that's going to be exciting for absolutely everybody. Don't care where you are, that is going to be a date. JR, this has been a blast catching up with you. It is going to be a gas. What are you expecting? Are you, well, I guess you're hoping for two wins. How's the 84 APC car while we got you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously APC Tour is really tough because, you know, everybody knows I've always been the one to say how it is. We're racing against, you know, the McCall cars that are really fast, really strong. There's, you know, there's got to be 10 of them that work together. So for people that are on their own and trying to do something different, it's really hard. I mean, Mike's a really intelligent person, obviously one of the smartest ones in Canada. He's got great people working with him, like Joe Lawrence is really smart. His friend there, Paul, he's Paul Jr., he's really smart. There's so many smart people that work there. So for us, we're just testing and just trying stuff and doing all we can. So I think Staubel was a really good step for us. We had really good speed, not quite as much as we need yet, but definitely getting faster. And hey, we'll just keep testing and keep trying stuff and see if we can't beat them. But obviously coming from the back can be really hard. But if there's anywhere I'm confident in making it happen, it's definitely Flamborough.
I'm very impressed, just so you know, that you didn't jump on here. Like, if we had DJ first, he would be like, hey, I beat JR, you know, but you beat DJ yesterday. That was the first time in quite a few races, but you finished in front of him.
Hey, you guys aren't filling the whole story.
I know, but it's fun.
No, it's not.
It's fun for us.
Yeah, it's fun for us. We're having fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I got to start first at Flamborough, I probably would have won it, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're going to get your shot to run against DJ twice, once in the Castrol Edge Dodge, and the other one, it's going to be Castrol Edge. At least you'll be able to identify it. And the good part, JR, you're going to be able to sneak up on them twice, because in one car, in the party, in the party casinos.fun car, it's kind of like a purpley-blue color. You're going to be able to maybe sneak up on them, and then you're going to be back in black for Flamborough Speedway in that 84. You're really going to be able to sneak up on them.
Well, and that's it. He's getting old, so he'll forget which one I am.
Too much fun.
I love it. It's so much fun listening to you two.
Oh, it's worth the price of admission.
It is, 100%. It's golden.
JR, thanks so much for the time tonight, and good job at Flamborough Speedway. 22 Racing's got to be happy with the results they came away with. I know you guys all want to win, but when it comes time for consistency, you guys nailed it.
10-4. Appreciate it, guys. We'll talk soon.
You want to believe it. That is JR Fitzpatrick. You can catch him in the number 24, NASCAR Pindies, or you can catch him in the number 84, in the APC Series, presented by Grisdale, and it's coming up, Junior. Both races, September the 12th, I do believe, and let's pray for great weather.
Yes, 100%. It's I hope that it's a beautiful, sunny day, that it's not crazy hot, but, you know, if it's like a 24, 25 degree Celsius day, the storyline there is going to be really cool. Between Jukasa and the APC Series, I really think that the fans are going to buy into it, and there's going to be a lot of coverage about it.
Yeah, there is, and I do believe at that particular point in time, it's still fanless or relatively close to fanless.
Yes.
So you're really going to depend on GeForce.TV for the coverage, but the good part is it'll be absolutely live. Greg, Adam, and Clinton. We'll actually bring you all the way through. If you haven't watched one of their races yet, get to their site, go back, have a look at the beach race. It'll blow your mind. They do a dynamite job with it. and we're looking forward to the coverage at Flamborough Speedway coming up. We're going to hit another break. When we come back, we're going to have a winner from Flamborough Speedway just yesterday. The guy drives the number 3 for Kubota Canada, Jason Hathaway, going to join us on the other side of the break. The guy's batting 500. They've had 4 125 lap races. Jason Hathaway owns 250 of the wins. We're coming back.
My name's Ryan Litt, driver of the number 07 Auto Value Super Sprint USAC Sprint Car, and I'm listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Racetime Radio. Only on SiriusXM 167. We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. We are talking NASCAR Pinty Series, and they were at Flamborough Speedway just last night. It was their debut, actually. Never raced Flamborough Speedway before, these teams. And, man, oh, man, did they do a dynamite job. Some fast racing. And one of the winners from yesterday, two 125-lap races, and it was the number 3 of Jason Hathaway in the Kubota car. Team Orange goes to victory lane. We got him on the hotline. Jay, what's happening? How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good.
Just enjoying a night out by the pool here.
Ah, there you go. Told you we'd leave your seat all warmed up just in case. And look at that. You're batting 500, man.
Yeah, we've had a good little run here this shortened season. But it was a lot of fun. Flamborough, we tested there with our car. We felt we were pretty good. And then I was there in a street stock, I think, in 2010, I guess it was. And haven't been there a long time, but it was kind of fun. You know, it's a racy little racetrack there. And restarts, you can, you know, race too wide for a little while. And it was pretty good. I was impressed, actually.
Tires hung on pretty good. The car felt good underneath you. Take us back through the race that you did win. Was that the first one or second one, Jay? I think it was the first, right?
One. Yeah. Yeah, it was the first one. We were qualified in the pole. I think that was my first pole in NASCAR, but luck of the draw there. So, I don't want to tell anybody we drew for qualifying. I just want to tell everybody I was on the pole. So,
yeah.
Not a boy.
I think it's taken me, I don't know, probably 170 NASCAR races to get on the pole, but I finally did it.
So. Hey, a stat is a stat.
Exactly. I've worked that into my contract for more pay next year.
Not a boy.
But, so we started up front and got the lead early and kind of set a bit of a pace and gapped ourselves a bit. JR was, he started second, so he was after me a little while there. And LaCroix was catching there at the end. And we kind of, honestly, it was a little bit, you know, uneventful, to say the least, from my seat. But I guess there was a lot of good racing then in farther back. And it was pretty racy all the way through the field there.
That's what Junior said when he got home. He said, kind of like a snooze fest for a while. He said there was some good running, but it was kind of, strung up.
It was just, when you have the pace of the race set from the beginning, when you have a fast race pace and you have a bunch of cars up front, and it happens with heads-up qualifying just the same. If you have five really fast cars and they get single-filed out, that's what does happen. What we've seen at Sunset was really slow cars kind of on the front of the field.
Right.
And that creates, bunching situations, whether it be, for third, fourth, and fifth, or for second, third, and fourth. Like, it creates, it ebbs and flows in the race. And when at Flamborough, for really both races, really good cars started up front. And it just set the pace of the race. And as soon as they get single file, they don't necessarily want to burn their stuff up. They want to save it for the end. But it just so happens that there wasn't one of those late race cautions for either one of them.
And Jay would have been saving his stuff for the end,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
So everybody's saving.
It was just that way. And that happens with all forms of racing. It's just, I don't think, even if you had 25 cars, the pace of the race yesterday was very fast for both. And Jason, looking at Flamborough Speedway, what would you like? I know you've seen it. You're obviously from Ontario. Even if you didn't race there, you know Flamborough Speedway pretty well. But what would you compare that track to that the Pinty Series has went to?
That's a tough question.
Like as a driver, it's
honestly,
unique.
There really isn't anything like it that we run at. Maybe Sauble. Sauble, I would say, is maybe something like that. But Sauble's a little better in the corners. But it's just it's got two straight, long straightaways, or straightaways at least, and real tight in the corner, real slow through the center of the corner there. But you kind of got to launch off straight, or else you're going to burn your tires off. So that's something we really worked on. But, Sunset's a little different than that. Sunset, you got the back straightaway where you're out way out to the wall, getting into three, and you're kind of always turning down the back straightaway. Where Flamborough, you're straight. There's two straightaways each one. So, I don't know. I think if you put, maybe you made a little bit of a longer race, and those short race situations like we were in, like you mentioned, Joe, in a couple fast cars up front, it does make for a bit of a fast pace and kind of. Not a lot going on, I guess you'd say. But I think if you had a little longer race, and if we were to go back there again, which I hope there's an opportunity to, maybe get a 200 lapper. I think everybody can make it on tires and fuel. It may, in a perfect situation, may produce some real good racing.
I think so too. And thinking back to a race that always stands out in my mind that would create ebbs and flows, like organically, was always Vernon. Right.
Yeah.
When you look at Vernon, you could be lights out fast there for 150 laps and you could fall on your face at Vernon. Yep. And really, the tracks that we see, Jukasa, you can go hard for the entire length of the distance. Like, you still have to save your stuff. You can't be sliding the car sideways and pitching the car around. But you can go decently hard from start to finish in that race, even if you don't change your tires. We've seen that last year where the guys only had right sides or Ranger didn't take tires last year. But if you had like a 300, like you were saying, like a longer race, like a 200, a 250 or a 300 lap race at Flamborough, and you had it during a time where we have 16, 18 cars, I think that it would be a fantastic Pinty's race just for the sheer reason that the tires would fall off. You would get into a situation where you'd have a guy stretch out a gap and you would have a time where that guy would fall back, and you would have ebbs and flows in that race. And that's the only thing that it was missing yesterday.
Did you get four fresh sneakers, Jay, for the second 125, or did you have to go back out on the tires you had?
Yeah, no, we got four tires. So it was an 8-tire race, four for each one. Which again, maybe is not needed, looking back, if you're to go back there next year and put something together, but who knows? I mean, right now in racing, I think you got to keep an open mind everywhere, every track available. If the track or promoter's interest in NASCAR Pinty Series, I think we got to look at it.
Yeah, well said. That's cool. And it is so cool that you guys got an opportunity to go to a different track. I know Junior mentions Vernon. Back in 2010, I happened to be there. And yeah. I remember you, Jay. You were coming in that race. Scott Steckley yeah. came out of nowhere. The 17 Castrol Edge Dodge was right there. It was an amazing race. And it was that ebbs and flow throughout the course yeah. of that race.
Yeah, it's great. Another great racetrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was good all around. I think, you know, a lot of clean racing all the way through the field. Nobody really wrecked up their stuff too bad, so we'll get ready and get everybody gathered back up in 2 weeks at Newcastle and see if we can do it all over again.
So now, whose birthday was it this weekend? It wasn't Eddie's. He's only got one a year. Was it Jamie's?
No, it wasn't. It was Macy. Macy, my youngest daughter, turned 12, so got her a flag and a trophy, so we took care of her. So just... having a little birthday supper by the pool tonight.
Well, now this
celebration going.
This isn't journalist related here. This is team related. I hope nobody's got a birthday heading into Newcastle. I mean, you know, just saying. Birthday
Max,
gifts, or
Max
change up your birthday gifts that you hand out. All right.
Exactly. Max is September 6th, so we'll that's pretty close. We'll hopefully try to get him another trophy too.
Well, I believe Kubota is celebrating something around there. I don't know, but I bet you they will be.
We'll make something up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would well imagine. Bummer you can't have Kubota at the track when you guys are racing now. You guys are pinned down to so many guys per team. That's it. You know, everything's locked down. It's a tough deal.
Yeah, it is tough. We're trying, you know, all the teams are trying to do their best through their social media programs and all their platforms they have there. So we've got a Grow Strong program going with Kubota and Victory Garden. So that's been, it's been keeping us busy on the social side. So, and it's nice to get some racing in obviously as well. So it's been fun. It's been a fun summer, you know, and my summer's been mostly filled up with racing and race cars. So it's been nice to do a few other things this summer and also get some racing in too.
And one other thing that I do want to bring up here, if you watch any type of NASCAR on TSN, you see the ads. Your partner, right, your core of your team, Fast Eddie, has masks available.
Yes.
In today's world, you need masks. And, you know, you see the ad, you guys have masks available. I've seen them. Obviously, your team, you know, your team has them. Probably the most comfortable looking mask out there that you could say.
Right.
They look extremely comfortable. And obviously, in today's world and climate, they're needed. I was talking to Gottler about them on how comfortable they are. They're breathable, but you can still tell that they're working for you. And, you know, just kind of a shameless plug. This is not a paid thing. This is just a shameless plug for you. It's definitely available out there. So definitely take a look at them.
Yeah, for sure. Now the Fast Eddie side and Chaco, they're both doing masks and they're Canadian made. They're made right in Mississauga there. So it's a partner of ours that we do a lot of business with that just started making them, you know, during this pandemic. So it's something that everybody needs now. So it's you can put your company name on a logo, whatever you want to put on it. Now the kids are going back to school as well. So I know my kids got their designs, what they want, and a couple different different designs they need. So they, you know, it's good for the kids as well. But for sure, Fast Eddie and Chaco, we wouldn't be at the racetrack without them.
Hey, if fans wanted to, could they order 3 masks so that they could have 3 on them?
You know what? What we did is we just made straight EHR ones so we could cover all 4 of our NASCAR teams. But just go to fasteddie.com, the website there, and get in touch online with them, and they can fix you up there. I honestly don't even know what the minimums are, but we do have a couple standard, you know, designs for everyone that covers everyone.
Yeah, that's cool. Good stuff, Jay. Congratulations on another win. We will keep your seat saved and shined up right here. You got your work cut out for you, man. You're heading for Newcastle, so that's going to be a dynamite race.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We get the Man Cave Challenge champion in there, too, so that'll be kind of interesting. Shake out some points, little mini-series here going. So it'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait.
You want to believe it. Jay, thanks so much for the time. Go ahead. Head first into the pool.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Great talking to you guys again.
You betcha. Jason Hathaway, driver of the number 3 Kubota Canada Fast Eddie Chevrolet. Beautiful looking race car, and man, does that thing fly.
I will say this, there was one fan in the grandstands that cheered for him in Victory Lane.
Was there?
Yeah, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey was up there.
He was loud.
So
was
you had a day with Jeffrey. How was Jeffrey doing? I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yeah, no, it was up in the spotter stand. Flamborough Speedway has a very large grandstand.
Mm-hmm.
There was one camera operator for TSN that was directly up behind us. And then there was the, 14 people that it takes on the spotter side. That was it in the grandstand, entire grandstand.
Yeah.
So it was virtually silent when there was a yellow flag leading up to a race. And one really interesting point about spotting in today's climate, right?
Mm.
The score clock at, we've been racing. You don't realize how much you use the score clock during the course of a race as a spotter. Right? The score clock only needs to be there for the fans, technically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at Flamborough Speedway, they didn't have the score clock on at all.
Oh, really?
And you don't realize how much of a dynamic that is.
Sure. Trying to figure out what lap control, it is.
To control the pace of the race as a spotter. It was one of the most interesting things. And I've spotted at racetracks where the score clock went down or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't really realize how much you rely on that little piece of technology that you just take for granted.
Yeah.
It's
at every track.
It's part of it. And it was really interesting, just the dynamic of being up there. There's also the excitement level leading into a race. The fans hustling and bustling down below you. It's part of it, right? You see all the fans getting autographs leading up to a race, and all that stuff is all excitement that builds that we're missing out on right now.
Yeah,
and
we sure are.
By the sounds of it, Mark Rinaldi and those guys, I've read some really interesting articles over the course of the week here.
Mm.
They're fighting to able to get capacity, but some capacity at those tracks, and it's not having any success
with
the government.
It's time for the association, I believe, to switch over and let's go after financial aid to help short track racing across Canada. The only tracks that are running with any capacity are in New Brunswick, and they got a late start. They got an extremely late start. So I'll tell you, every short track in Canada, asphalt, dirt, road course, whatever, needs financial help. I guarantee it. Every facet of the sport needs financial help to make it through this pandemic. And you got to remember, this is a long, long old winter, and we've got zero financing coming in from a season that did not happen. Yes, we're seeing the odd race right now. You're seeing it, but I'm telling you now, as listeners, it is reduced payout. I'm talking in half, if not less than half, and that is only for the top 10 guys. Everybody else is really, really suffering. The tracks are doing it for a minimal cost, and I can tell you right now, they are losing money on it. They're not doing it for a profit. They have no fans in the stands. When you see zero fans, that is a loss for a racetrack. It don't matter how you cut it, how you spin it, how you look at it. I know the numbers. I owned a racetrack for 14 years. You cannot do it without race fans, period. And so the races that you see right now, please take your hat off to those promoters. They are providing us with some content. It is minimal. It is good. But we really need to take our hats off to guys like John Caselli, Paul Grizzell, all the racetracks that have held races, Alex Nagy, Tim that owns the racetrack at Jukasa, all of these tracks. We really need to take our hat off, because I'll tell you right now, they are not making a cent, not a cent. And they got a long old winter, and the taxes keep running in. The bills keep running in, and it's a lot of money. We need financial aid for our racetracks, and some of the different assets that go around those racetracks are going to need financial support throughout the course of the winter. If they don't have it, guess what? On the other side, you may be short a bunch of racetracks, which we cannot afford to do. That is my take on it. I do want to spin a couple of clips that we got. Of course, the NASCAR Gander Truck Series was at Gateway just today. Going to Victory Lane was Sheldon Creed. Got a quick clip with him. Here's what he had to say. $150,000 winner. Here he is.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, you're thinking how cool it would be just to win one, and then now we've gotten two, and now we wish we would have won last weekend in Dover. So it's really cool what Gander does, and gives us a chance to fight for some money, and three totally different racetracks, which is really cool also.
Yeah, it was a $50,000 challenge, right? If you win all three, away you go. It worked out that he did win $150,000 extra dollars for GMS. Sheldon Creed probably not going to get his mitts on that, just a share of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you look at, you know, just feeding back to what you were talking about on the racetrack side, everybody looks at what these NASCAR teams are doing and trucks and, you know, the NASCAR tracks down south.
Right.
They're racing in front of little to no fans as well. But they're racing on the back of the TV dollar.
Yes.
Right?
It's TV money
providing
that. So
it looks like the track is losing money. The root of it is they could race with no fans at Daytona. They could race with no fans at tracks like Gateway and tracks like, you know, Loudoun or Atlanta. They're racing on the back of the TV dollar. And, you know, they're not racing on the back of the race fan, which happens at every short track in North America. So it's interesting that you talk about this money that is coming in for Sheldon Creed. That is an opportunity for them to get TV time, and Gander, you know, hats off to Gander for doing that.
Yeah, putting the money
for
up.
For putting the money up. It creates exciting racing, and, you know, we all benefit from the comfort of our own home, watching it from the couch.
Well, the Xfinity Series and Cup Series were together at Daytona International Speedway. On the big track, it was Justin Haley going to Victory Lane on Friday night. Here's what he had to say to the media after the race.
Yeah, obviously the first part of the race, you know, you want to kind of, you know, save your stuff and have a lot of teamwork. You know, I got shuffled there by the Fords with, you know, about 10 to go. And luckily I was close enough back. I could see Cindric's hand signals. And, you know, he's kind of counting down the chase, I believe. And, you know, I could kind of – I was translating to, you know, my guys what the Fords were going to do. You know, I was kind of like the spy back there. And then I got a good run based off when they were trying to lag back. I lagged back a little quicker and was able to shoot past them. And then, obviously, you know, the two other collie cars got together, but awesome effort by everyone at Lee Field Grub Protection, Collie Racing. You know, we're, you know, a team. We're a team, and we're a family. And if one of us wins, obviously the other two are disappointed, but at least one of us got it.
Well, the Lee Filter car did. I can tell you, watched that race live, and I feel bad for A.J. Allmendinger. I got to feel bad for him. He and the number 10 car of Ross Chastain got together, teammates, as Justin alluded to there, and the two of those guys went up, and it was just a crying shame, because I'll tell you, A.J. Allmendinger had that race in the bag and was doing a dynamite job, but we'll leave it there. Justin Haley goes to Victory Lane in Xfinity on Friday night. Last night at Daytona was the number 24 in the Cup Series. William Byron goes to Victory Lane. Here's what William had to say.
Incredible. On cloud nine for sure. There was a point of that race that I didn't really think things were going to work out in our favor to make the playoffs and, you know, really have an opportunity next week. So this was kind of one of those do or die situations, and kind of crossed that fork in the road tonight, and we're able to be aggressive and make it happen. And really just the final probably 10 laps of the race, I just was on offense and trying to just win the race and take whatever run I could. And luckily was able to make the moves that I needed to, got just enough daylight between the 22 and the 43 to kind of split that gap. And, you know, I'd pushed the 43 really aggressively up to there, and he had done a great job to hold on to his car and get us to that place and position. And from there, then the next restart, got a great push from the 14, you know, and then was fortunate that things worked out to where I had the 9 on with me on the last lap and, you know, was able to make it work. So just incredible. I don't even know what to say, really. It's a huge blessing.
I wonder if that iRace that he won back in, I don't know, what was that, it wasn't January. It would have been like March at Daytona. I do believe that was a Daytona track, and it was a 24 in Victory Lane. Wonder if that ever played into his mind, hey, I won the iRace here, too.
He's good at restrictor plate racing. He's been good since the beginning.
I would say.
You know, since he came onto the scene, you know, he's had some really good success in the truck series and in the Xfinity series and really all the way through the Cup series. It's been his strong suit at the restrictor plate tracks. He's been good. And definitely, you know, there's a lot of similarities. I think that there's no secret to it. The draft in the iRacing world is very similar to what you see in you know, in real life. Bob Pockers put out a really interesting tweet, he put it out there last night. William Byron, let's go back. Jeff Gordon is the only one that has ever won in the 24.
You got 2 minutes,
right?
So just so you know.
Jeff Gordon is the only one that has ever won in the number 24.
Yes.
He won his first race, Jeff Gordon did, at the age of 22 years, 9 months, and 25 days.
Right.
William Byron is 22 years, 9 months, and 1 day old.
No way.
He's actually younger than Jeff Gordon by 24 days. You know, so you look at the lead up to his win, and a lot of people said, well, why isn't William Byron winning yet? He's young.
Yes.
He's a young kid.
He is, but
and
he's growing before our eyes.
He's growing.
He's aging.
He's been amazing up to the Cup Series level. He's had decent results. Mediocre to decent results in the Cup Series.
Yes.
And when you look at that age stat, you know, Jeff Gordon had a long, illustrious career after that first win.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Hendrick was at a lack of performance level all the way up to this point in William Byron's career. Hendrick Motorsports has not had the performance over the last 5 years that they had
prior to. Yes, I agree.
And when you look at the upswing, when you look at the momentum that is building right now between William Byron, Chad Knaus, and his whole team, and really what the 88 is doing right now,
the 48.
What all of the teams are doing, I think that, you watch, this is going to be the start of a run where you're going to hear a lot more about William Byron. Not to say that you weren't hearing a lot before, you're going to hear a lot more now.
Yeah, and could very well be. You know, the big one last night took out the 48 of Jimmy Johnson, and he did look really good in that race. The other ones that were taken out of there, McDowell, again, looked good in the draft and was coming up. You got to look at guys like that when you're at Daytona.
Absolutely, when you're on restrictor plates.
You know what Michael's all about. You guys would sit side by side in the car or whatever, drive him back from a race.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating when he gets to Daytona and then gets taken out in the big one.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just luck of the draw, right? When you
yes.
look at, I think the guy who is the most aggressive, best restrictor plate racer today, and really in the modern era, is Denny Hamlin. He's got the results to back it up.
He was up there.
And
he was
up there all night.
Yep.
When you look at the guys who William Byron ended up beating last night, he's going to have some really interesting stuff happen in his career over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and it's what we all want to see in the Cup Series, in the Xfinity Series, and trucks. It was a great weekend for race fans to follow NASCAR. Want to let you know, we're going to throw it back to Toronto, to the SiriusXM studio. We're going to throw it back to Scotty. I believe he's going to be in there tonight. And going to do a news update. Get you all up to date on stuff you missed, maybe. Listening on SiriusXM, Channel 167. And then Junior and I coming back for hour two, and you don't want to miss this. We got some great guests coming up. We're going to go coast to coast next here on Race Time. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on SiriusXM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And there we go, the fastest 90 seconds on radio, I guarantee it. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the Race Time Radio studio. Got to welcome in the listeners on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Also want to welcome in all the listeners on the Performance Motorsport Network.com down in the U.S., 98.9 XFM Antigonish, or Gearhead Country Radio, all different ways so you can get Racetime Radio throughout the course of the week. And you can always listen on iTunes. We're also available on iTunes, absolutely free. Just search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to click like and subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. We are back to the hotline, and let's welcome in our Hour 2 number one guest, number one in our heart as well. He is the general manager of Scotia Speed World, out just outside the Halifax Airport. He's also the general manager of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. His name, Ken Cunning. He's with us now. Kenny, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Joe. I'm really good, actually. How are you?
No, I'm doing fantastic. Man, Oxford 250 today. Are you watching in on that? Or is it over in the side there? Are you hearing anything that's happening?
No, I haven't, actually, and I didn't go look for it. I was busy today, had some things to do, and then tonight grandkids were over for a bonfire, and so I have no idea what's happening in Oxford.
Neither do I. It's all going to be a mystery to me because I haven't even turned on my Twitter machine to find out. For anybody that's out there, of course, you can always tune in to speed51.com. I know they've got it on. But I digress. Ken, you are going to be a busy guy, and you have been, trying to get fans into the grandstands out in Nova Scotia, looking over the fence into New Brunswick, and watching Petty and 660 have at her, and you guys have been sitting idle. At least until now, you've got a little bit of daylight. How are things progressing for not only Scotia Speed World Friday Night Racing, but how's it coming for the Parts for Trucks Tour in the future here?
Well, all I could say at this point is we're moving in the right direction. We could have 250 people in the facility and anywhere in Nova Scotia. So all the racetracks in Nova Scotia were limited to 250. As you said, in New Brunswick, their mandate was they moved everything to as many people as you want, gathering outside as long as you could social distance. And then they cut the social distance from 6 feet to 3 feet. And PEI is still 50 people. So we all wonder, the Maritime provinces are very large geographically, and the premiers are talking to each other and public health are talking to each other, and how they come up with three drastically different plans, I don't know. But the good thing is we put a proposal in to have more than 250 in the grandstands. Anybody that's associated with a racetrack will tell you that 250 people aren't going to pay any bills. We made the plan. We worked with public health, and I probably know more about communicable diseases than I really want to. It's been a real learning experience, and a lot of good people actually in government helping us along the way. We have got our plan in, and Riverside has a plan in as well. So there's two Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour tracks. The premier and the public health office, chief officer for the province, named us along with Scotiabank Center in Halifax, where the Halifax Mooseheads play, and the Center 200 in Sydney, where the Screaming Eagles play, as four indoor, or four sporting, I shouldn't say indoor, but four sporting organizations that want to have large crowds. We have two inside and two out, and they've added Exhibition Park, which is an inside and outside facility. So we're hopeful because my thinking was if he announced it on his or during his press release that they were working with us to have larger crowds, that to me was favorable. I don't think they want to talk about it and then turn around and tell us we can't do it. So
right.
Wait and see. Tomorrow's Monday, so hopefully we get some positive reply and we can get our plans. When we have our plans, we can put them in order.
Yeah, and the best to do, I guess, for race fans that are out there in Nova Scotia is to either, you know, keep it tuned to Scotia Speed World, guaranteed. Watch timscorner.ca. Timmy will have the latest news. And, of course, CTV does a dynamite job out there in Atlantic Canada for keeping up to date and keeping everyone up to date. As soon as those premiers make an announcement, it'll be on all of those different facets, I would imagine.
Yeah, it will for sure. When we hear something, you'll see it on Scotia Speed World's website and Facebook, and the same with the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour. We'll do the same thing. It's something we're looking forward to. This past Friday was our second race at Scotia. The first one we did on the 21st, we had people in the pits and no one in the grandstands, and it looked awful strange looking from the pits to the grandstands, and the race crew was over there, the race director and scorers and so on, but you couldn't see them through the windows, and there was poor Rob Bonus on the starter stand all by himself, and he looked like he was in the middle of a desert.
I can well imagine.
We had people in, and it looked a little better, but it's pretty sparse.
Yeah, and it would be, right? It's just the lay of the land, and hats off to Cecil Vance and you for putting this together. So Friday night racing could even happen. I know you're doing that to keep the guys in the pits sane. That's what it's all about at this particular point in time, right?
It is, absolutely. Cecil Vance is the owner of the track, and he wanted teams to get on the racetrack this year. He didn't want to go a year without racing, and we sat down and with the restrictions saying you can have 250 people. Originally they said we could have 250 in the pits, and that would take us about 20 staff, so that knocked the number down. And then they said, well, staff are employees, they don't count. And then we looked at the racers and the teams and the crew, and they said, well, they're the participants, so they don't count. So our numbers kept getting a little better, but still nowhere near where we need them to be. But Cecil was of the mind that he wanted everybody to race, have the opportunity to race if they wanted to, and he was willing to do some subsidizing on it, and here we are. And my feeling is every racer that has been in Scotia owes the man a debt of gratitude. I mean, it's only because he loves racing and he wants to see racing, and he wants the racers to race it, that we're doing this. Economically, it's not the smart thing to do, but we're doing it for those reasons.
Yeah, he's gone to the hip, absolutely guaranteed, and we got to thank him for that. Let's talk parts for trucks, my man. We got a 250 announced for Scotia Speed World. Any details surrounding that? How's the team count looking? How's everything looking for the 250?
Fairly good. I think... we have 20 cars registered, and we've only went out a little while ago with it. We've got a lot of guys that will be going to 660s, 250 on the long weekend, on Labor Day weekend. So there's a lot of people hedging their bets. I'm coming. If 660 race goes well, I don't tear the car up.
I was just going to say, if I have a car left.
That's right. That's exactly it. So we don't count those, as for sure, but we've got them sort of in the back of our mind. Our biggest concern now is ordering tires. We have to have tires, obviously, to race.
Right.
It's a little bit of trying to, you know, get everybody pinned down and find out who's coming, what sizes they want, and then start looking at other things, other people, and saying, well, he runs this one or they run this size, and just try to figure out who would be there or could be there and make sure we have tires.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to let listeners know, I know you're dedicated. I know you listeners love listening to the races live that we do on Racetime Radio. And we would have been doing this 250. We had scheduled 7 races to do live from Nova Scotia this year at Riverside and at Scotia Speed World. But due to COVID-19, this is not going to happen this year. We won't be able to cover these races live, and it hurts. It hurts, rips my heart right out of my chest for these guys to be on the racetrack and us not to be there. And I know Jerry Paxton and Josh and Brad and the whole Racetime Radio crew is torn to pieces because we can't be there. But is there any word? Do you think we're going to have any sort of coverage for fans that can't go because we can't put them in the stands?
Well, we've talked about that preliminary. Since we don't have approval yet that we can have, multiple groups of 250 in there.
Right.
And we haven't made any hard and fast arrangements because we don't know what we're offering yet.
That's right. Yep. Fully understand.
We have a whole lot of things in the air or plan A, plan B, and if necessary, plan C.
Right.
It's just waiting till we get that final approval and we'll start putting things into place and looking at all that.
Right.
It's going to be a little different for us as well. All the years you've been doing this, it's going to be the first time you haven't been here. It's going to seem strange.
Yeah.
And this summer has just been full of new things and strange things and odd things. So it's a year to forget once the racing season's over. I think it's been a whole lot of learning things that I don't really want to know about at times.
Well, hey, look at this. The NASCAR Pindy Series just ran at Flamborough Speedway. There's something I would have never, ever said for 2020. I can almost guarantee you that was not part of the plan for 2020, and it happened on the weekend. Ken, I want to let you know, I did book Jerry and I 2 tickets to Halifax. I did that back in early March or April. And confirmed our tickets because we were getting ready to go for the first race in May. And the flight was canceled due to COVID. Flight was canceled due to COVID. It was pushed, and it is pushed to September the 12th weekend. If by chance that flight goes, and if by chance the province lifts, I will be there. We have plane tickets, and I know we can stay at Quality in Halifax Airport. But who knows, everything else, like you say, everything's got to fall into place.
Exactly. There's just so many variables, and for good reason. I understand the medical side of it, but it's so up in the air if this has to happen before that can happen. I mean, if you, we're right next to the airport. We're right across the street from it. And, you know, you come to one of our races at Scotia, you get a free air show. It's really quite spectacular when they're taking off in the dark, coming out of the darkness, and you get to watch them go up. But I watched a news clip the other day, and the airport flights are down something like 94%.
You
get pictures of the inside of the terminal, and it is just empty. So it's this whole COVID thing is affecting a whole lot of people. Everybody knows.
Well, you know what, Ken? If they did lift it, Jerry and I would be able to fly in, and we wouldn't have any contact with anybody. We'd be able to come.
That's right.
Right out of the terminal, take the shuttle over to the Quality Inn. I bet you we wouldn't come in contact with any more than about 20 people the whole weekend that we're there. If we social distance, we wouldn't get in touch with anybody. It'd be clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I drive by the Quality Inn on the way to the track, and there's not a lot of cars in their parking lot.
Oh.
Not like usual. So
no.
Everybody's paying the price for this.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Ken, for fans, the best way for them to stay up to date, the Parts for Truck Store is on Facebook, so you can search them if you haven't already. They are on Twitter. I know Jess runs the Twitter. She does awesome with that. And the tour is on Twitter as well, Scotia Speed World. Your website is a dynamite spot for people to land to get all the information they need. And they're going to want to buy tickets, even though it's a limited number. Are they going to be able to buy their tickets early? Are they on sale now, or when do they go?
they're not on sale until we get final approval. With public health, they're big with contactless interaction. So we're going to try to sell pre-sell tickets. We have to collect names and telephone numbers in case something happens. We have to be able to trace
right
who was in the building or the facility on a certain date. So if something broke out and somebody said, had COVID, and they said, oh, by the way, I was at Scotia and I was here and I was there.
Right.
They'll come to us and we have to provide the contact information. So it's what we have, or it's we've taken the racetrack on the grandstand side and made five different racetracks. We have separate entrances, or will have after we start cutting the fence up and putting gates in and building stairs. We'll have five different entrances. We'll have five sets of toilets, bathrooms for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to leave your pod, as we're calling them now, in the grandstand.
Right.
You're in there with 250 of your friends, and that's where you're going to stay. If you want canteen facilities, you call the canteen, and we're going to deliver the food to your section.
Yeah.
We've been busy trying to figure this out. We watched Friday night, we were watching the races at Scotia, and we suddenly realized that we're not doing this right. The drivers get out of the car and they go over and shake hands. And just out of pure, they do it all the time. So
right.
It's they don't even think. We give out a checkered flag and we've got to disinfect that every time. It's a whole new way of thinking. So it's a strange place in the pits with everybody wearing face masks. And it's interesting times, to say the least.
I wouldn't doubt it. And I'll tell you, a guy that has gone through it, and he's gone through it a couple of times and done a spectacular job. It would be worth a quick phone call to Luke Ramsey, the president of the APC Series United Late Models here in Ontario. He would be a wealth of knowledge that he'd be able to probably give you a bunch of tips on easy ways to do what you're going to do. And you guys are just unbelievable what you're about to do to get a Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour race on the track. Ken, hats off to you. Hats off to Cecil. Mad, mad respect for all of you out there. It's going to be dynamite for the fans, and that's what it's all about.
It is. It is. It's, we have fans that want to come back to the racetrack. We have drivers that want to go back to the racetrack. It may not look the same when you get there, in the sense you're going to be a little restricted in the facility or where you can and cannot go. We always, at each track, and at Scotia we do it in the 250 weekend, we pull the cars out in the front stretch early, let the fans down onto the racetrack and talk to the drivers, get autographs, make connections and that type of thing. And we can't do that anymore, or not in these times anyway. It's different. It will look different, but once that green flag flies, it'll be the same old thing. It'll be, 25, 28 guys, giving it their all and running side by side and digging for all they can. So that part will stay the same. It's just the peripheral around the race itself that may look a little different, but reaction so far at Scotia for the last two Friday nights. We didn't have fans in the grandstand the first one. Last night, or last Friday, gone by here, we did. And you know, people were saying, boy, I miss this. I'm glad to be back. And, you know, so it's there's a lot of familiarities, a lot of the same things. Some of it we're just doing different because that's what we have to do to meet public health rules.
I hear you. I hear you. And so do the fans, bud. We appreciate everything you guys are doing. I got James McDonald, JDM Broadcasting, a guy you know well, coming up on the other side of the break. Did you allow him in, or is he going to be able to get in and do his deal?
He wasn't in Friday. I didn't see them Friday.
Mm.
You know, we have to sit there and count people coming in because we can't go over our limit of 1,250 people, which still is a ridiculous low amount.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a facility that seats 5,500. So yeah. You can well imagine what 1,250 people are going to look like in there.
Yeah, a cannon. Nobody.
No, it's really quite odd looking at pockets of people the last Friday night watching it, and you look over the grandstands to the pits, and it's the same idea, parts of people have been sitting here, there, and, you know, and it's just odd because that's not what we're used to, but we're trying to be as flexible as we can and trying to think of how to satisfy public health requirements and racer requirements and fan requirements. So it's been interesting. I spent many, many hours this summer talking to folks at public health, starting from not knowing who in the heck do I call now? Who do I call first?
Yeah, yeah.
I must say that a lot of people the people at Sport Nova Scotia were very helpful and got me in touch with somebody within government, and it went from there. But it's not knowing anything about the public health and communicable diseases and all they go through. It was like a duck out of water for me, and you feel like you're just feeling your way along, and you think you grasp it, and then all of a sudden you realize, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to educate ourselves so we can make good decisions, put good plans together to go back to them and say, this is what we're going to do.
Well, well said. And I got to tell you, you guys, I really feel for you in Nova Scotia. I know you're not a lot of people. Here in Ontario, the Ontario Racetrack Association got put together. I'll tell you what, Mark from Brighton Speedway has worked damn hard on this and hasn't got any further ahead than what you guys have got all by yourself. So hats off to you. Good luck with the event. I know we're going to keep our eyes peeled. I pray to God, along with absolutely everybody else that's within earshot of this, that we wake up tomorrow and, like the big Donald Trump has been saying, this thing disappears and we can go and join you guys on September the 12th. It's going to be the Parts for Trucks at Scotia Speed World, and hopefully it all opens up. But everybody's got to stay tuned to the social media for ScotiaSpeedWorld.ca, and don't forget about the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Kenny, this has been fantastic catching up with you. Always look forward to it. Please say hi to everybody for us, and you got to know we miss you, and we really appreciate the time tonight.
Well, the Quality hotel next to the track was asking about you. I guess they're down on food sales over there. So you guys, Jerry and you fellas, Josh, it must have been keeping them going. And Brad probably kept the beer flying out of there.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we miss having you around. It's you're part of what we do and have been for years now. And it's just one of those other things that makes the summer seems strange. You get used to it, you get used to, and when you don't have it, it feels different for sure.
Absolutely. We could be thousands of miles apart, but I'll tell you, we are together. I don't know any other way to describe it. We're keeping our eyes pinned, and it feels like we're there, buddy.
Well, I hear you. And I heard about the Association of Racetracks in Ontario, and I thought, now that's a smart idea. And actually, somebody in government asked, do you have an association, like restaurants have a restaurant association, and the brewers have a brewers association. He said, do you you guys have an association of racetracks? I said, not yet. We will next year.
Yeah. You want to believe it? It's damn time there's a Canadian one. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah, I think so. There's safety in numbers, or there's power in numbers, however you want to say it. And, you know, Nova Scotia is a small province, so we have 10 racetracks in here. And that is stock car tracks, road race tracks, and there is, I don't know how many motocross tracks there. I don't know where they all are, but I know there's a few of them around. So, yeah, you know, and you multiply that by what's in New Brunswick and what's in the island, and it's, you know, there's a lot of people in the racing business, whether they're racing stock cars, drag race cars, motorcycles, road race cars, trucks, that sort of thing.
So, and they all generate tax for the provinces, for the federal government, for the municipal government, and every one of them are going to suffer through this winter. Ken, there needs to be financial support put together here in Canada. It has to be done. That is the next step in my mind.
I think so, too. And then there's the people that, the engine builders, the speed shops, the parts guys, the car builders, all those people are taking a hit this year. And, you know, it's hard on racers because their sponsors are having a hard time. And it's hard on crew because some of them are laid off. And it's just throw everybody in a bag and shake it around and dump everybody out. And it's almost fend for yourself at times here. So it's been a real experience for everybody and not a good experience for a lot. So it's unfortunate. And I realized it's, you know, wasn't man-made. It was a bug or a virus. And it's just had a wide-ranging effect. Bigger than anything I ever thought would happen or could imagine. You know, I remember hearing about the bubonic plague in school and that sort of thing. I never heard about the Spanish flu, but I guess we'll go down in history too with one of our own. So it's trying at times. It's frustrating at times. A lot of times you want to throw your hands in the air and say, that's it, I quit. But it's I've learned a lot too. So it's the biggest thing we've always been looking for during this is basically to get cars on the racetrack and get racers racing. And I've had more Cecil time this off season than I have in the other 14 years I've worked here. And not that that's a bad thing. It's just that we were at it all the time trying to figure out what to do, and we go down one road and that would get blocked, and you sort of back up and try another route and try to get some good information. And it was felt like a coal miner some days, like the people in Glace Bay and Spring Hill just digging and digging trying to find that nugget. And sometimes you found one and other times you didn't.
Well, this is a national problem that needs to be addressed. Ken, good on you guys. Good on Cecil. You take it easy. We got to run, hit a break. And we just thank you so much for your time tonight. Say hi to Tara, the terrorist, for me, too.
I will. Thanks, Joe, for everything.
That's Ken Cunning, General Manager of Scotia Speed World out in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. We hit a break. When we come back, James McDonald, JDM Broadcasting. Easy for me to say.
Hey, this is Ray Dunlap, and if you want to know what's going on in motorsports, make sure you tune in to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Oh.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
One of my favorite reintroductions here on Racetime Radio. Another wheel hosting. Let's go to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a guy that is just like Junior and I. And a guy like Tim Terry. And a guy like Clint Jeffrey and Adam Ross and Greg Kalnan. And I could list a pile of names. The next guest, James McDonald, he is the owner of JDM Broadcasting. He is out in Nova Scotia, and you can check his workout, and he is with us on the hotline. James, what's going on? How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man, and thank you for that introduction. That's a Hall of Fame crew there you just mentioned.
No, you know what? You are one of us, and all of us are covering short track racing across Canada. I know you focus in on the Maritimes, but you and your dad are dedicated to this sport. You were guys that were sitting in the grandstand and went, hey, I've got a talent where I can use video, I can interview guys, and I can get these guys at least a little bit of exposure because the big guys aren't doing it, so we got to do it. And you're doing a hell of a job out there, my friend.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that. And yeah, I'm just a fan when it comes down to it. I mean, starting at Sydney Speedway, which was Island Speedway, it was probably 96, 97 when I seen my first race, and as soon as that first car came out onto that track, I was hooked. Just the sound of it, and just then, yeah, the racing in general. Obviously, I started going with my father to the races, and he was just a big of a fan of it as myself, and he obviously probably had his fingers crossed saying, well, I hope he likes this too, because even if he doesn't, I'm dragging him to the track every Saturday anyway.
So that's how you got involved in it. How long have you been doing broadcasting with your videos and stuff? How long have you been doing that?
I would say now, off and on for about 10 years. With the broadcasting gig, actually, I've got to give a shout-out to Sean Cole. He was actually the guy that gave me an idea. Used to race in a city in the street stock. And he was like, man, I think you got something here. I think you can really kind of reach out to a fan base because there was a lot of people in Sydney Speedway that obviously loved what we did. Back when Barry Cusack owned the track, I just had a little camera. I was just filming there. And obviously when the track kind of shut down for a couple years before Bill and Lynn picked it up, I was doing it weekly. And then once again, when they started opening up, I started filming it. And that's when Sean gave me the idea. And then I created JDM Broadcasting. And yeah, now we travel all over the Maritimes. It's like New Brunswick is my second home during this pandemic, but yeah, it's awesome. I love the support that I get from everybody, the fans and drivers alike. It really means a lot, and that's why we do what we do.
Well, and you guys do a dynamite job too. I urge everyone to have a look if you're interested at all in maritime motorsports on an oval track perspective. James McDonald, JDM Broadcasting. Where do you put all of that content? How do fans key into it?
Yeah. If they are interested, for sure, you can go on our Facebook page, JDM Broadcast. And there I got to put some pictures up too, and just videos, especially kind of on an off week, like we have Mother Nature One around here this past weekend. But yeah, I'll put old interviews up. We got highlights of races, and even if you scroll down, I mean, for the last 5 years, there's hundreds of races on there now, and also on YouTube as well. You can just punch in JDM Broadcasting, and yeah, you'll see a lot of great content on there as well.
Yeah, you've caught a lot of wrecks. I remember specifically one in particular. There was a truck go for a tumble at Scotia Speed World on a Friday night before one of our Parts for Trucks broadcasts. You caught that, and man, what a job.
Yeah, yeah, it caught my eye there. I see, yeah, the truck started flipping down the front stretch. And, yeah, I think there was a little tussle at the end of it, too, which kind of, in the broadcasting world, it's always great to see. But, yeah, both drivers were okay, but their tempers were definitely through the roof there. But, I mean, that's short track racing, and that's what we love about it, too. I mean, the passion that these drivers have, I mean, even if you're thinking about pro stocks, or you're just thinking of mini stocks, it's incredible the passion that these drivers have. And just the fun that they have. And I got to, over the last few years, especially just starting to go to Scotia Speedworld, seeing the Bandoleros, the way they can wheel around that speedway, and now even in New Brunswick as well. I mean, the kids, it's incredible the talent that they have. I mean, we're only talking, what, 8, 10, 12 years old, and
yeah.
They're driving like a real veteran. I love the Bandoleros. They really caught my eye the last few years.
Yeah, Emily Chisholm goes to not only Victory Lane a bunch, but she championed last year, and she just started.
Yeah, yeah. I remember just watching her, yeah, maybe a year or two ago, and she came so close just trying to get that first victory. I think we did two or three broadcasts there. I mean, she was winning, leading with about two laps to go, and she would spin out, and then we see, like, yeah, a couple weeks later she gets that first win, and, yeah, she did not slow down after that first one.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. Hey, James, we got to get rolling. We got to head to BC next. We're going to have Dave Smith. You're going to be interested in this one, bud. We thank you for your time tonight, and we want everybody to check your stuff out. Continue to do what you do, brother. You're doing a dynamite job, and we thank you for your time.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Joe, for allowing me to come on. And, yeah, yeah, JDM Broadcast and Facebook and YouTube, check it out. And, yeah, thanks once again, guys. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Nice. James McDonald, dynamite job. Got to thank him and hit our break when we come back. Like I say, off to British Columbia. You don't want to miss this next story. You stay right where you are. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jay Dewar driving the 43 Dirt Sports in the Merivale Speedway. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back.
And once again, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio Live tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167. Well, I got to let you know here. Come Sunday, September the 6th, there's going to be a premiere documentary that you are not going to want to miss, short track fans, right across this country, and you won't have to miss it. At 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Rev TV. You got it on Rev TV or on Chex 10. It is going to be a documentary. Of course, we've got the Canada 200 coming up at Western Speedway. It's all presented by Shockwave Seats, and the documentary that's going to air before that race, Before I'm Gone, featuring Dave Smith. We have Dave Smith on the hotline. What's going on tonight, Dave? How's it going?
Yeah, we're doing really well. How are you doing out there? And who am I talking to? Where am I talking to?
Joe Chisholm, Racetime Radio, in Ontario, my friend, in Ontario.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's good. We're good out the coast.
Good, yeah. Man. Good, man. Dave, documentary coming up. It's going to feature you, man. I watched a snippet of it today. I got to tell you, brother, I got goosebumps on my arms. What you're about to do and what you do is just amazing. Let's start with your story, the background story. You started out as a race car builder.
That's correct. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we were the feared wherever we showed up. And at that time, I was a builder. I didn't drive. I built cars. I built cars for Roy Smith, who won four-time Winston West Championship. For Gary Kershaw, he won the Riverside 200 Permatex race, the first Canadians to ever win a NASCAR race. So I had quite a bit of time at it, and then I took some time off to get my life in order.
Did you ever rub elbows with the famed Junior Hanley from originally from Nova Scotia, moved to Ontario, and a short track legend and a builder? Did you ever rub arms with Mr. Junior Hanley?
Well, I didn't. Unfortunately, I knew of him, but back in those days, the communication wasn't like it is today. So, no, we were on the West Coast and he was on the East Coast. I did work out of Charlotte, North Carolina for Holman and Moody, for Ralph Moody, and I prepared a car for Janet Guthrie for the Daytona race, but that was as close as I had come. And I know that Junior was involved in racing and made some NASCAR races back at that time.
Yeah, and I guess, in fairness to absolutely everybody, Junior included, he would have been behind the wheel back then, maybe not so much as a builder. He is today. But he would have been behind the wheel winning races. The Janet Guthrie story, I remember quite well. I actually watched Humpy Wheeler, and he talked about that very story. I watched it about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's a small world when it's a racing world, and I guess Junior and I have swapped roles. He's a builder, I was a builder, now I'm a driver, so I guess we swapped roles.
Absolutely. I guess. Incredible. Dave, you have a real story, Before I'm Gone. The title of it would say Before I Leave, I don't know, Racing the Planet? You do have a story. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because we want to watch the documentary as well.
Well, I was quite taken back by it, and I've given this speech a lot, and I hate to sound narcissistic, but it turned out really well. The guys did a great job of it, and really what the story was supposed to be about, what I intended it to be about, was when you get older, given this gift that I've been given because I managed to beat cancer, I had a chance to live life all over again, and I've got a chance to race all over again. So all of the mistakes I made in racing before, I'm trying not to let them happen one more time. And also the stories about what would you do if you had a second chance in life? What would you do? What would you do with your life? And this is kind of the way I decided to do it, and I hope it's an inspiration for other people to beat cancer and other people that are retiring and thinking that, they're going to roll up the whole world without you. It ain't going to happen. And that's what this documentary is about. And it also touches upon my past, and it touches upon the plight of others at Western Speedway. We've got quite a community out here with our Speedway and the community that racers are to each other. And, I defy anybody that's on the sensitive side or even the crusty side to watch this thing and not have a little tear in their eye at the end of it. It's the guys have done a great job of kind of explaining the whole thing.
Amazing story, to say the least. I seen the trailer today, and like I say, goosebumps. Bud, I'm in the same boat as you, kind of. I was diagnosed with cancer like 2 years ago. I just finished my treatments about a year and a half ago. And I'm with you. I got two clear scans. What type of cancer did you have?
I had prostate cancer that had metastasized, and it was into my spine and it was into my lungs. And I went down the United States and got treatment for it. And as far as the racing goes, they cleared me from treatment. And what they don't tell you about cancer, and what the part that gets me is that oh yeah, I beat cancer. That's just the start. That you're just, they kick you out onto the streets, and I was pretty burned down. I mean, I can remember training with Chris Cook, and I could do maybe four laps of a track that was a road course track that was, I don't know, it was like 47 seconds around or something like that. It wasn't a very big track at all, and I could only do, you know, four laps or so. So it was a long way back, and I mean, I exercised pretty good when I did yoga, and I couldn't run, but I could walk, and I walked, and I did whatever I could to keep active. But definitely, I don't know how your cancer treatment went, but cancer treatment's not a very nice thing. They try poison it, and then they try burn it down, and in the process, there's a lot of collateral damage. So this all came out as I was just out of treatment only 3 or 4 years ago. So most of this has all happened within the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I had 35 radiation treatments, so I know all about the burn. I know the poison. I had 7 chemo treatments. And my little story, I'm a broadcaster, and I go in, I got diagnosed with cancer. I had a golf ball-sized tumor at the base of my tongue. So that, of course, is going to affect my voice, my eating, my everything, my communication skills. I guess my broadcast crew is going to go right out the window. And they said initially they were going to cut my tongue out. And I said, you got the wrong guy. I got to go.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
And then they said, no. Okay, no, we're going to go the other way here. Because I was ready to go out the door and get hooked up to morphine for 6 months before I gone. And it turned out they radiated, they chemotherapied, and thank God they knew what they were doing, because I'm still here to talk about it. So this is what I'm doing. This story that you have got is unbelievable. How the hell did you ever pick getting into a race car after building them and doing what you're doing with Shockwave seats?
I tell you, you know, and I've told this to many people as well, it's, if you would have said to me when I was back in the day, if you would have said to me at any point in my life, you're going to drive a race car, I would have said you are completely out of your mind. And I mean, I got really lucky. I got a good crew. I was racing at Daytona and Indianapolis. I think Daytona was my fourth or fifth race. And I'm at Daytona International Speedway with an SCCA and a Trans Am car. So I was really lucky. I was really blessed. I mean, there's a lot of people that have raced a lot of cars and raced a lot of short tracks, and they've never gotten a chance. I kind of did it backwards. I went to the big tracks, and then the local guys will say, well, come out to our short track and run with us. And I was like, oh, you're crazy, because that's, you know. And then I thought, well, no, you're crazy, because you went to Daytona and you're worried about going out on a short track. And yet the short track has been, I think, the biggest challenge that I've ever faced. I think that the Saturday night specials, going to Western Speedway and going to the short tracks, going to the little bull rings, has been much, much tougher than running SCCA Trans Am races. Guys that race bull rings are very, very, very tough customers. They do it week in and week out. They've done it for a long time. They've raced go-karts when they were kids. And the short track crowd, I would say, is the toughest nut to crack these days.
You drive the 5S at Western Speedway. When are you going to be in that car? How long have you been driving? And the Canada 200 is coming up. It's going to be huge. It's all going to be live on Rev. When, how long have you been driving in your late model?
Well, the late model, I've only been driving for a year. And as I say, I was kind of put up to it by a few of my crew members. So, you know, I'm not that experienced. We got up to 6th last year, which is, I think, pretty good for our rookie year. So I'm looking for a little bit better finish this year. It's 200 laps, and traditionally, we don't know what's going to happen. It's your real crapshoot race. You've got to maintain your tires. You've got to watch your track position. all that stuff is really big on the Canada 200. And you know, the Canada 200, we won it back in the day. We were at the first Canada 200, I believe, back in 1970 or 1971, 72, maybe even as late as that. But the Canada 200 has been running along as long as that. So, yeah, do watch that race because it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. And a COVID year, right? You get zero practice, really. Or have you guys been out and got a few laps in that five car?
Well, we have been. We've been testing out the track as well as most of the racers here have been renting the track and getting their feet wet. We had one short track race at Penticton Speedway, which is about 400 miles inland on British Columbia. But that's been pretty much it. I mean, the SCCA road racing's been cut out. We ordered three ARCA cars because we were going to go ARCA racing in 2021, and I don't even think that's going to happen now because the fact that ARCA's, you know, the whole race thing is up in the series is up in the air as far as where they're going to go. And then we can get down the United States all right, but we can't get back up to Canada without quarantining. Well, it's just unrealistic to think that we're going to take a crew of people down there and go run a race and come all the way back. So the Canada 200 it is. It's going to be our premium event as well.
Well, there's lots of opportunity over here in Ontario. What kind of late model do you got there? Like, what's the backstory? You're a builder, so you understand the mechanics and the actual breakdown of a race car. What type of car do you got on the late model side? Are you working with a chassis builder that's out there, or did you guys put it together yourself?
Well, the cars that we've got because I've got two that I run at Western Speedway they're a Howe car, which is a square tube, but it's a Camaro geometry. You can run a Camaro clip, and it's a crate engine type car.
Yep.
And then the other late model that we bought that we probably bring back to Ontario is a Rowdy car that we just purchased from Charlotte.
Nice.
And it's a full, you know, super late model, but it's got a crate motor in it as well. And it could be made into a super late just with the change of the engine. Most series would call it a pro late.
Yep.
Well, here you go, Dave. I'm going to tie the two together now, okay, for 2021. If you're not going to go do the ARCA deal, you jump in that super late model. You come here to Ontario and get involved with the Canadian short track race at Jucasa, a super paying event. You probably know of it. Then, before that, you need to make your way to Riverside International Speedway in the IWK 250. Man, you could do it all.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll make a promise right now, and if I can't make it down to the United States, you got yourself a deal.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Run the IWK 250 out in Nova Scotia at Riverside. You are going to love that racetrack. You come into Jucasa next, you run the 200 or 250 there, and that is Canada's crown jewel. And then, of course, you and a bunch of the guys should head to Western Speedway and jump into the Canada 200. That'll all come up in 2021. Man, that sounds awesome.
There you go. Well, Canada, as you know, has produced some very good racers, and we certainly hope that this second time around, before I'm gone, that I could join that and put my name on the roster.
You're going to do it, Dave. If you put your mind to everything, and I know you're successful, I can't thank you enough for the time tonight on Race Time. This has been awesome catching up with you. I know we want to get you back on the show and hear how you did in that Canada 200 this year.
Well, you're on for that. You're most welcome to call me anytime.
That's awesome, man. Thanks so much for the time, and I know we all look forward to the documentary coming up on Rev TV and Check 10 out in BC. Awesome stuff, Dave. Thanks so much.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
That's Dave Smith. You got to watch for this guy, Junior. He is, he's one of us.
Very cool. And you know what's really neat? I didn't know that this was in production. I didn't know his backstory.
I didn't know any of it.
We know a lot.
Thanks to Rev TV, and I got to tell you, Mike Garrow.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Mike Garrow, I wouldn't know any of this.
It's really interesting, though. Like, these stories, you know, continue to pop up. I felt like I had a pretty good grasp on racing.
Me too.
In Canada.
Me too.
I understand the game. I understand the players. I understand the people that are involved and the moving parts that are within the sport. I had no idea about this really cool backstory that was out there.
Yeah.
And it goes to show how much more that you don't know is across the country.
Yeah.
And Canada has got such a diverse network of storylines within the sport.
No.
It's not mainstream though.
No.
You know? And obviously we all want it to be, and we all want to have mainstream portions to the sport.
Yep.
But there are so, like, just on a regular Saturday night at a short track in BC or Alberta, Nova Scotia, Saskatoon, or Saskatchewan, it doesn't matter where you are. There are really neat storylines in the pit area.
There is.
Whether it be
there
somebody
is.
That's going through cancer, whether it be somebody that has a backstory that you know is positive or negative or whatever. There are so many different facets to the sport that aren't just the performance aspect. This is just a big vehicle to get stories announced to very large amounts of people.
Yes.
And that's what the sport is all about.
It is, absolutely, and well said. Now, I got to say this about that. I did know about the Canada 200.
Oh, I knew about the... Absolutely.
Yes, we definitely knew about the Canada 200. Yep,
I was out in Victoria earlier this year and desperately wanted to go there.
Yeah.
It was a little bit too far away. We didn't have a rental car.
Right.
And I was only there for 3 days.
Right.
I had it marked down. I wanted to go to Western
Speedway.
And just to see it.
We have had Daryl Crocker on this show.
Yep.
The promoter and the owner of Western Speedway. And I got to tell you, I wanted to have Daryl on right in behind Dave. But we didn't have time for it tonight. But I'm going to tell you right now, next Sunday on the show, our first guest right off the top of the show is going to be Daryl Crocker. They'll be getting ready to put the green flag in the air for the Canada 200. But I got to remind you one more time, please, please check this out. Sunday, September the 6th, it's a premiere of a documentary, Before I'm Gone, featuring Dave Smith. You do not want to miss this. You can catch it on Rev TV, Shaw Direct. You got Rev TV. All the main outlets, you know what I'm talking about. And out west, don't miss it on Check 10. You don't want to miss it. I've watched the trailer, goosebumps, tears, you name it. All of the above. And this Canada 200 is going to rock out in Western Speedway. And it's all presented by Shockwave Seats. You don't want to miss it. Check it out. Daryl's going to join us right off the top next week. Also coming on the show, Daryl, of course, BC, we're going to go all the way to Newfoundland and bring in Canada's first champion, Phil Fowler. He championed at Thunder Valley. He's going to join us next week on the show, along with a bunch of other winners, and we'll get you ready for races. We'll do all of that right here on Racetime Radio, but that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the studio. Got to thank Susie Q for hooking us all up with our guests. And got to thank Scotty in Toronto at Sirius XM. And we got to thank you for tuning in. Without you, we are nothing. So keep coming. Keep those cards and letter comments. And, oh, go to my Facebook page, will you? Go to Race Time's Facebook page. Scroll down a little bit. I did a little sponsor review, if you will. Quickwick is a huge part of this sport in Canada. I show you how a Quickwick works. I'm telling you right now, you're going to want to buy Quickwick. Check out our Facebook page and have a look at the video. I think you'll enjoy it. That's it for us tonight on Race Time. Have a safe week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.